Well, we're starting a new series for 3 weeks on prayer. We have an opportunity to pray before the Lord, to learn about prayer, to kind of dive into God's Word. And where's Jonathan? You like that one, right? Dive into God's Word. We're talking about Jonah, right? We're talking about the story of Jonah. Now, we have a tendency sometimes to take things in the Bible and make them kind of into children's stories, and then they never quite leave our mind. For example, VeggieTales, right? And Jonah was a prophet. Ooh, right. We kind of have that in our head. And we have this story. We think of him in the belly of the big fish singing with the opera and all. That we kind of have these kind of visions of these things that have kind of gotten stuck in our head from the time that we're a little bitty. But when you read the story as an adult, it's such a tragic story. It's such a tragic story of a man of God choosing to flee and to run from what God had called him to do. Now, we know about Jonah. There's another place in the Bible, 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25, where Jonah's actually mentioned, right? And Jeroboam and the second king, Jeroboam, and he's talking about his kingdom. And we see Jonah's name's mentioned there as being a prophet of God, someone that advised the king about the ways of the land, and someone who was a servant of the king. And then God spoke through him to different people. But then we pick up in the book of Jonah, and God once again asked Jonah to speak to someone. And so what is Jonah's story about? Like, when you think about Jonah's story and you think about what it's about, I want to plant this kind of seed in you. Idolatry leads to death. That whenever you take anything and place it higher in your heart and your mind and your soul than God, that's going to lead you to death. But Jesus leads to new life. And that's going to be a theme that's kind of reoccurring through this story of Jonah, because Jonah's sin, his choice to move and to run away from God, is going to lead him to the point of death. In fact, we see idolatry mentioned a little bit further in Jonah's prayer in Jonah chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love." That when you chase after these vain idols, and we saw that with the sailors on the boat, they ran to their little g gods first, but it didn't solve the problem until they ran to Jonah's God, until they answered to Jonah's God in that particular story. And so we tend to run to idols so many times, and that leads us to death. In fact, if you look a little further in Jonah, down in chapter 4, verse 2, we kind of see a little bit about why Jonah ran away from God. And here's what he says in verse 2. "And he prayed to the Lord, and he said, 'O Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God, and a God merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live.' And the Lord said, 'Do you do well to be angry?'" You realize that Jonah did not want to bring the hope of God to his enemies. The people of Nineveh were his enemies. They were the people that hated Israel. They were people that would eventually conquer the northern kingdom of Israel. This is the enemy, and yet God is saying, "I want you to go give them this message." And Jonah's like, "No. I don't want my enemies to do well. I don't want them to have the hope of God." And that one kind of punctures the heart a little bit. Do we wish well on our enemies, on the bullies, on that toxic person at work? Do you wish well for them? If not, then maybe you're being like Jonah. We find ourselves in this story too often where we are nervous to go step out and then do what God has called us to do because we don't really like that person. We don't really mesh well with that person. Instead, God is calling us maybe sometimes to go out, and we want to be careful not to be fleeing from the presence of the Lord. You realize that fleeing from the presence of the Lord is sin. That's what we see in this story. That when God's presence is calling us, when he's calling us to talk to that difficult person or to pray or to spend time with them, but we choose to run away, that we're living in sin. By the way, where was Jonah going to go? Where can you run from the presence of God? I mean, Psalm 139, and you notice we just got done with the Psalm series, so you're going to see that coming up all through this sermon because it's still on my brain, right? Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I run to the heavens, you are there. If I run to Sheol, the grave, you are there. Where can we run from God? Where can we hide from God's presence? Nowhere. But we still try, don't we? We try to hide our sin, like maybe God isn't there with us, instead of choosing to be in the presence of the Lord, instead of fleeing. You realize that sometimes our sin is not always active, that our sin is passive. We're not choosing to do what God asked us to do. Therefore, we're sinning. Because God calls us to certain things through his word. And we're going to dive into that all fall. It's going to be awesome. But we're learning from Jonah today, right? The wages of sin is what? Death. Do we believe that? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, right? So if we choose to walk in sin, it's going to lead us to death. And I'm going to make a bold statement and give you some homework, okay? I want you to be a Berean, right? The Bereans were people that went home, and they didn't just believe what the pastor said. They dove into the word, they started researching on their own. And I think that Jonah's sin here actually led to death. I think that Jonah died when he got thrown into the water, sank to the bottom, and a great fish swallowed him up. I don't think he had like a party inside of the fish stomach. I think he was dead, and he was brought back to life in this prayer time. So go home, study it, look at it. I'm going to make a case for it today as we start going through that. But don't disbelieve me. Go home, research it, think about it, read it for yourself. Look up some of the Hebrew words to see if that's what it really means or not. I just want to encourage you. And don't disbelieve everything you hear. Study it. Let the Holy Spirit lead you and go on that journey together. And here's why I think that happens. If you go to Matthew chapter 12, you're like, wait, that's in the New Testament? Yep, this is Jesus talking. Matthew chapter 12. We see Jesus speak about Jonah, right? And he says this in verse 38 of Matthew chapter 12. It says, then some of the scribes and the Pharisees answered him, saying, teacher, we wish to see a sign from you. So they want to see a sign from him. And he answered them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to them except for the sign of the prophet Jonah. So he's using Jonah as a type of him, of what Christ was going to do. So he's using this as a sign. He says this, for just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment of this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah was here. And so Jesus says, just as Jonah was in the great fish, so I will be in the heart of the earth. Do we believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again? Right? So I'm going to go ahead and just apply that to Jonah and say, Jonah died and was rose again in order to bring a message into Nineveh. So you're going to go home and you're going to study it. Okay, right? You're going to go home, got some homework, and then check it out and see what you think, right? But when we go back into chapter 2, you're going to see some of those signs of this, because if we flee from the Lord, it's going to lead us to death. Death of relationships, death of joy, death of fulfillment, all of those things. When we step away from the source, which is God, and we try to do it on our own, we're going to try to manufacture this joy. We're going to manufacture all these things instead of plug into the source, which is Christ, and produce the fruit that comes from the fruit of the Spirit. Instead, we run like Jonah too often. We flee away from him. And so Jonah, right, was in the great fish for 3 days and three nights. And it says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish. So Jonah wakes up and he begins to pray, right? And so here's the message of prayer that I want you to get today, all right? Do you pray scripture? Or do we typically pray asking God for something? Like typically we tend to pray just asking God, thank you for this food, thank you for this thing, thank you for that, or hey, I have this big thing coming up. Instead, I want to encourage you to let scripture lead you to a new life in Christ through prayer. Right, and so we're going to see in Jonah's prayer that almost every line of his prayer is coming from the book of Psalms. Almost every line is being pulled out from this rich source of God's word as he begins to talk to God from there. So let's look at verse 2. It says, saying, and here's Jonah's prayer from the belly of the fish. I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Anybody called out to the Lord out of your distress? Everybody been just broken, and you called out to the Lord, and what does he say here? He answers us. Do we believe that, church? That God will answer you where you're in distress, when you're in that low point, that God will actually answer you? This quote comes from Psalm 18. And I don't want to read it together because I think it's a beautiful psalm. And in Psalm 18, David has just escaped from the grasp of Saul. Saul's hunting him down. David's running, hiding in caves, all kinds of craziness. David's life is just in disarray. And for no reason, because Saul just doesn't want to give up the throne. God's already anointed David, and he's running around. And now David has been set free from that, from Saul's debate, because Saul's passed away. And he writes this psalm, and look what he says. Here's the first line. After all of this distress has happened to David, here's the first line. I love you, O Lord, my strength. Can we pray that? Lord, I love you. Let's just start that way in our prayer life. Oh, Lord, I love you. And when I don't have the strength, you are my strength. Right? You are my rock. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. When you're like, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this, but Lord, I trust that you're my deliverer. You're my rock. You're my refuge. You're my strength. We use the name of God to encourage our heart and our souls so that we can trust in him. And we see David just praising God for taking him out of this distress. He says this, you are my rock and my in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold. And I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Can we call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised? What a beautiful phrase for us to remember in our prayer life. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. And in my distress, I called on the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. And that's where Jonah is. And God, from his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Have you ever been in your room praying for the Lord and felt like your prayers didn't get past the ceiling? Feel like maybe God didn't hear me in that one? But yet we see consistently through Scripture that God hears us, that he loves us. He doesn't always say yes, but he hears our prayers, and we can call to him out of distress. And the next verse, in next part of verse 2 says, out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. Now, this word Sheol is actually a Hebrew transliteration, meaning they just took the Hebrew word and they said, hey, good luck, say this in English. So it's just that this, the Hebrew word that's brought forward, it's translated several different times, 31 times as grave, 31 times it's translated as hell, a couple different times as the word pit, right? But it means the grave. Okay, now, again, you can take this as a literal grave, which I am saying that he was in the grave calling out his soul, calling out to God. Or you could say this was kind of a poetry figurative hell, that he'd been separated from God, that his life was dead and he needed salvation in Christ. Either way, we're supposed to call out to the Lord and believe that he hears our voice. And for some of you in this room, you've never called out to God. Right now, your soul, your spirit is dead. And you're doing it all on your own power, all on your own strength. You've let the doubts of the world get in and sow into your mind these things, and you've never truly trusted the Lord to be your Savior. Today's the day. Why are we going to walk through life on our own power? Like, have you seen yourself on your own power? Like, look at yourself in the mirror really late at night. It's not pretty. Maybe some of you aren't pretty, but when I look there, I'm like, wow, what are those things under your eyes? Why are you so bloodshot? Because when I try to do my own power, I fall apart. I have to rely on the power of God to live day by day. Otherwise, the things of the world are going to crush us. How could you live this world without the hope of Jesus? You don't have to. You can trust him. You can put your faith in him. And verse 3 says, you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. So he's just being drowned by the world. This is actually a quote from Psalm 42. We studied Psalm 42 earlier in the summer. In verses 7 and 8, it actually says this, "Deep calls out to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have washed over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life." And this was the psalm talking about how depression and the pressures of this world tend to just drag us down and pull us down. And here Jonah is literally being pulled down through that. He's quoting these psalms to reflect how he's feeling before the Lord. Verse 4 says, "And then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall look again upon your holy temple." He felt like he was being driven away from the sight of God. And yet the Lord has given him new life. This is a quote out of Psalm 31, verse 22, where the psalmist says this. He says, "I have said in my alarm, I am cut off from your sight, but you heard the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cried." Do you notice that constantly throughout these psalms is saying that God hears you, that when you pray, God listens. What a comfort that should be for our soul. And verse 5 says this, "The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. The weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains." Now, you know, I'm thinking, man, if you got to the bottom of the sea with some seaweed wrapped around your head, yeah, right, you're in trouble, right? You need some rescuing, right? I mean, maybe he was a scuba holding his breath. Maybe he had a long snorkel. I don't know, but sounds like it's pretty far, the roots of the mountains, all right? But again, go home and study it, all right? Go home and study it. Don't let me convince you too much, okay? But it says this, "And I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever, yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord and my God." Do you notice the change? In chapter 1, what does Jonah say about God? Not too much. He runs, right? And he's in the bottom of the boat, and they bring him up like, "What have you done to us," right? But now we see him calling him my Lord and my God. Not just the creator of the seas, not just the one who caused the storm, but he's my Lord and my God. Why? Because he has brought his life up from the pit. He has brought him back. Have you ever felt disqualified for being used by God? God just has to bring you back from the pit. I mean, Jonah runs from God, and God's like, "Nope, got a plan for you. I'm going to speak through you to your enemies. I'm going to bring hope through you." So he brings up his life from the pit. Verse 7 says this, "And when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you in your holy temple." When you hit rock bottom, do you remember the Lord? Or do you curse him? Do you blame him for the things that are going on in your life? You know, Psalm 77, verse 11, talks about how we should be remembering the Lord. It says, "I will remember the Lord, the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember his wonders of old." Can we remember what God has done for us, even in the lowest of times? Verse 8 says, "And those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love." Oh, that we won't chase after idols, that we won't replace God with anything. Now, we just sing a song, right? "I run to the Father, I fall into grace." When the things of the world go crazy around you, where do you run? Do you run to the Father? That's what we're saying. That's what we're declaring, right? "I run to the Father, I fall into grace, and I just want to be around him. I run to food." I'm confessing, right? You know this problem for me, right? When things go hard, if I don't run to God, I run to food. Ice cream, tacos, right? I mean, those things comfort you in the short term, though, don't they? Like, for a short time, I can forget about life. Some of us run to YouTube. Some of us run to things that are addictions for us. We run to alcohol. We run to pornography. We run to these things that are going to destroy us. But in the short term, they give us comfort because we don't want to be in the presence of God. Let's lay those things down. Have we not figured out, have I not figured out yet that those things don't satisfy? I'm going to be hungry again. You're going to be sober again. You're going to have a draw to the phone again. Those things just continue to this cycle of destruction instead of running to God, who wants to give us a new life. He wants to give us new desires. He wants us to live with joy and peace and all of the fruit of the Spirit. He wants us to live in those things. Oh, that we won't run like Jonah. Have you ever noticed that it's a lot better to humble yourself than to be humbled? Anybody notice that? Where it's easier to fall on your knees and give the things to the Lord yourself than to let him wreck you. He's still going to get you to the same point at the foot of the cross. It's just whether he has to work that process in you or whether you're willing to call him Lord and submit your life to him. Jonah didn't submit his life to him, and so the Lord had to bring him back. Verse 9 says, "But with the voice of thanksgiving, I will sacrifice to you." Now, listen, this is a different person, isn't it? He's saying, with a voice of thanksgiving? Wait, is he thanking the Lord for letting him sink to the roots of the mountain, be swallowed by a fish? He's still in the fish. Is he able to be thankful in the middle? He's in the fish. Is he able to be thankful? Right. He says, I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. There's only one place that you can go to find this salvation. There's only one place that you can go to find this source of everlasting joy, and it's Jesus. That's the only place that we can run to. And if you remember Psalm 42, we said this. It was the chorus of the song, and we kept singing it, starting in verse 5. It said, "Why are you so downcast, my soul? And why are you at turmoil within me? Hope in God, and I shall praise him, my salvation." Do we hope in God? Is that where we run when the world is just coming around us and destroying us? And then verse 10 says this, "Then the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land." Ew. Let's think about that. That's just kind of gross. Okay. Now, I'm going to be honest. I am not a fisherman. Anybody out there fishermen? For you, few of y'all out there, like I'm not a fisherman. My dad was a fisherman. He would take me. I just skipped rocks all day long. Which, by the way, it's not good for your fishing buddy to skip rocks, right? The fish don't come around skipping rocks, right? So I turned into a good quarterback because I just threw rocks at trees, I threw rocks at birds, and all kinds of stuff over those years. But I hated fishing. There's two reasons I hated fishing. Number one, I'm not saying this is true. This is my perspective. It's boring. Like I'm out there like. Click, 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 click. The little bobber, you know. He's just coming along. So I do it fast. Because the casting was the fun part. Well, you can't catch fish. It's like, shoom, that's like skiing the worm, right, along the water. It doesn't work. Here's the second reason. It was gross. I'll confess, it's gross. Fish are gross. They're slimy. They have those little weird teeth, right? You got to grab their mouth, and it's like, yeah. That's gross. And then my dad would be like, fillet him. Come on, boy. Come over here. Right, fillet it, and the guts all fall out. And I'm like, oh, that smells. All right, that's disgusting. Like, just grab it. You know, I do my best. But it was just gross to me. I didn't like it. And here's Jonah being vomited out of a fish, walking into the city. All right, Jonah walking down the aisle. How y'all doing right there? Yeah, like... giving hugs? Are y'all like the friendly church to that guy? Right? But people would take notice coming into the city that way. Right? But man, can God use us even if we're kind of gross? Can God use us even if we run away from him? Even if that running away led to like death and all these horrible things, can God still use us? Yeah, we're not disqualified. But here's the key. When Jonah was vomited up, he still had a choice. Was he going to get a new boat to Tarshish? Well, let's do that over again. How silly would that have been? Like, he just got vomited on the beach. He's like, anybody got a boat? Let's go back on the... How many times do you think Jonah got on the water after this experience? Probably not too much, right? He probably was like, hey, I'm just going to stay solid on the ground from now on, right? But we go through these cycles of sin over... and over again, because we don't have such a dramatic story. But Christ doesn't want you to run away from him. Christ wants you to step into his presence. And that's my prayer for us today. Are we willing to step into the presence of God today? Are we willing to let Scripture guide us and lead us? I want to go to Psalm 86 real quick. How can we pray this over our life? And I want you to think about this psalm as being a prayer. What part of this psalm can you agree with as we pray through it, as we look through it? All right, this is Psalm 86. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord. There are none. There are no, not are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. Lord Jesus, we can't wait for that day when all the earth sees you in all your glory. For you are great and do wondrous things. Lord, I pray that you'll let us see great and wondrous things. You alone are God. Lord, there is no other. Lord, I pray that we will lay down our idols. We will lay down our addictions and worship you alone. Lord, teach me your ways. Help me to learn. Help me to be in your word, Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Lord, help us as we walk through this life to walk in truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Lord, help us to have a reverence and a love for you. I give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with my whole heart. Lord, help us to be thankful. And I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love towards me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you that you have rescued us from death. You have rescued us from the grave because of your son, Jesus, who was willing to die to give us hope, to give us eternal life. Lord, help us today to lay down our idols before you. We pray this in your name. Amen. We're going to do something a little different today. We're going to have a time of prayer. We're going to have an opportunity to come to the altar and just to worship the Lord. And here's what I want to encourage you to do. If you have something in your life that's been holding you back, you have something in your life that you've put on a pedestal higher than God, I pray that today you'll lay that down. And I understand you can lay it down mentally in your seat, or you can take a step and lay it down at the altar. There's nothing special about this altar, but there's something special about us getting up and saying yes to the Lord. And so I want to encourage you, if there's something that you need to lay down, an addiction, relationship, maybe there's somebody in this room that you're having a hard time with, you just go to that person and say, I'm sorry that I've held this against you. I'm sorry, Jared, I haven't held this against you. Just use you for example. But man, let's say that I had something between Jared and I that was just not right. What if I went to Jared and said, will you forgive me for the way that I've had these thoughts, I have these things, and I don't want to have those thoughts about you. And we get right before the Lord. Maybe you have never given your life to Christ. And today is the day you're like, I don't want to be Jonah. I don't want to run away from the presence of the Lord. I want to run to the Father. And I want to encourage you, run up here. Like, I am not a fan of those, like, really quiet, silent, like, give your life to Christ moments. Because if you can't stand up here and celebrate, you can't stand up out there and celebrate. Like, there'd be nothing greater than have 50 people run down front and say, I want to give my life to Christ. We'll get a bigger baptismal, right? We'll just keep dunking people. It'll be awesome. We'll cancel next service. It'll be great. But man, there's hope in Jesus. Some of y'all, maybe you've never given your life to Christ, and it would shock people because you haven't given your life to Christ. Because to everyone, you're a pillar of what it means to follow Christ. But you've always done it on your own power. Don't leave today without getting right with Jesus. Okay? Lord, I pray that today we'll leave this place being in right relationship with you. That we won't be Jonah fleeing from this building without getting right with you. So, Lord, we open this altar up just to be a place where we can lay down our junk, our addictions, our lies, that we can lay all those things before you. Lord, I pray that the things that are laid down at this altar, Lord, you will take them away. That we'll be able to walk out of this place in freedom and enjoy celebrating you. So, Lord, let this be a sweet time of worship. Help us to get our hearts and our minds right with you. We thank you for your son, Jesus, who gives us hope. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.